from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Life after the mouse? No. Life with the mouse? It works. How to be a mouse?
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, good morning. Hi. How's everybody? Everybody cool? Everybody chilling? Yeah, it's summertime here in Central Texas. Summertime. 100 degrees yesterday. Yeah, it's good. Oh boy. Yeah, go figure. But I get this feeling that we're going to do a cooler winter. Yeah, I just made that up, but I thought it'd be a good idea. I wrote a letter to Al Gore and asked him if we could just cut down the global warming this summer. He said, okay, so yeah. So Al's on board, so we're good. Don't mind me, I'm just babbling along here. Thursday, next Thursday, coming up, we're going to do... Who we have on here? Oh yeah, there's some moral research about cell phones. Probably shouldn't even do this show because we know, but we'll do it. Wow, another money person. Two extras in a week. What's up with that? Maybe there's something going on. Rick Rule. Do you know Rick Rule? I've never talked with Rick, but he's a cool guy. CEO of Sprout US Holdings. Sprout. S-P-R-2-T-T. He'll be here on Thursday. And then next hour, Jerry Jacobson, cool guy, biophysicist, inventor, discoverer of Jacobson resonance. It's all about magnets. This is a real geek, man. He can tell you geek stuff that'll just make your head explode. And then first up this morning, as I said, wow, we got another money thing along with Andrew Goss, who's here every Wednesday. And it's his name is Rob Kirby. I've known Rob, I've never met, but known him for a long time. He's still trying to get a book published on the gold suppression movement. But we're going to talk about, kick around a lot of ideas from the eyes of Rob Kirby, who is KirbyAnalytics.com. He's up in Toronto, and he says about, you know, about and boat and about. How you doing about, Kirby? You good?
I'm here. I'm okay. How you doing, Patrick?
We're doing pretty good. Yeah.
You're gonna put some money in an envelope and send it to Al Gore so we can have a cool winter.
That's why I thought I would. You know, I thought I would get like trade some bitcoins for carbon credits and you know do that whole thing, and then Al would cool things off. What do you think? Is that a plan or?
Look, I think it's a great plan.
That's true.
If you send him some bitcoins, that's good. Sure it'll make his day.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I was a kid that Al, you know, Al invented the global warming. I like the weekend before we invented the internet, or you know, it was right there. He was on it, boy. He was a tiger. Oh well.
Al's on top of everything.
Al on top of everything. Rob Kirby, you're on top of gold stuff. How long have you been looking at metals, especially gold, but silver, gold, and stuff like that? Long time.
Yeah, I've been looking at them, actually, to be honest with you, Patrick, I've been looking at them far too long, and I've been looking at metals so long that I've actually lived long enough to see cryptocurrencies doing what metals should do.
Parabolic. Okay, so let's talk about it, because Andrew, who, you know, my good friend Andrew's here every Wednesday, and he, like you, is a real... hard money guy. Andrew says if you don't have it in your possession, you don't really own it. So he's hardcore. So he's just like such a Luddite when it comes to cryptocurrencies. But I want to get your take, knowing what you know about the financial world. So what do you make of this? I can remember when Bitcoin was 50 cents and we bought 500 each, Andrew and I, about 8 years ago, 7 years ago, six. And somebody stole them. That was it with the Mt. Gox meltdown. And we moved the with the Bitcoins, and then the place where we moved them, the guy just left the building with Elvis, you know, that kind of thing was going on. It was the Wild West in cryptos back then.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's you know, Patrick, it's really the Wild West that hasn't been allowed to occur in metals. And, you know, just because the Wild West has not been allowed to precipitate or become reality in metals doesn't mean that the Wild West has gone away or packed its bags and not occurred. The Wild West has only migrated to something that is not strapped to a gurney. And, you know, I want to just read to you, if I may indulge for a moment.
Yeah.
This is just a passage of something that I'm in the process of writing for publication. And it's this little segment of this piece is titled "The Real Reason Why Markets Are Rigged." And it sort of goes like this. Over the weekend of June 16, 2017, an American F-18 shot down a Syrian warplane that was bombing ISIS, which is a creation of America, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This set off heightened and already sour geopolitical tensions between the United States and Russia. As per the norm in recent times, the paper price of gold and silver were hammered on the opening of paper trade in New York's COMEX trading on Monday morning. Not only that, the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ were goosed, with a couple of these benchmarks making new historical highs. Does anyone really believe that when you drop a plate, it falls up? The stench of criminality emanating from American-controlled globalist trading interests truly smells like rotting flesh on a corpse in plain view. The globalists who control America via stealth in a fascist coup would have us believe that selling precious metal is the go-to reaction to geopolitical crises. Anyone who believes this nonsense would also believe that umbrella sales plummet when it rains, up is down, and down is up. This is all done to obfuscate criminal American / globalist stewardship of the world's reserve currency, the U.S. dollar, which is leaking oil severely, yet appears to the average lump and lemming public as being strong. Houdini must surely be rolling over in his grave.
That's brilliant. I like it. I like it.
That's just a few words of our reality.
Who, in your opinion, Rob Kirby, are the globalists?
The globalists are a cabal, which actually, there's a number of monikers which actually define who the globalists are. Some might say they're the Illuminati. Some might say they're the Bilderbergers. Some might say they are the Council on Foreign Relations. Some might say that they are an amalgamation of old world banking families, which would include the names of Schiff, Lazard, Frères, Rothschilds, Rockefeller, and you know what, and only to head this off at the pass, because this is where a lot of people seem to go whenever people bring this up. It's not a religious thing or a racial thing. Like, a lot of people say it's the Jews. A lot of people will say it's not racially aligned, at least in my view. It's not. I mean, the Rockefellers are not Jewish, you know. And to be completely honest with you, Patrick, I draw a distinct line between, and this is politically never correct to say, But even the discussion between whether it's a Zionist movement or a Jewish movement, because in the modern context, those two terms tend to be conflated and made out to be one and the same. They really aren't. I mean, you can, and when I say this, you can Google Joe Biden on YouTube. Google Joe Biden claiming he's a Zionist, and Joe Biden is not Jewish. You can also Google Ahmadinejad, who is the former leader of Iran. Ahmadinejad meets rabbinical scholars in America, which would be sometime around the year of 2006 or 7, when Mahmoud Ahmadinejad met all the top rabbinical scholars in America in New York City, and it's a love fest. And it's like a 5-minute long video where these Jewish scholars in America, senior Jewish scholars, rabbis in America, met with Ahmadinejad in New York City before he gave a speech to the United Nations, and you can see them hugging, and you can see and listen to these Jewish scholars giving Ahmadinejad a huge trophy, saying that they admire and love his affection for Jewry, and how kind he's been to the Jews. And you know, this does not really jive with the line that we get from the likes of fake terrorist news on CNN that claims that he wants to make the Jews disappear. So, but this is reality, and this information exists in the real world. And why it is that this, you know, this sort of thing never made mainstream news, I can only say, ask yourself the rhetorical question as to why it didn't.
Yeah.
There are people that are in control of our media. There are people that are in control of our financial edifice that don't want these facts to become true, and or these facts to be known or to be widely known, but they do exist and they are out there. So this
force, so we'll call it globalist, and I, it'd be fair, don't you think, Rob, to maybe put in people like Monsanto, ADM, Big Pharma, the FDA, the USDA, and AMA, kind of all on this thing too.
Sure,
I know they're different. They're kind of like cousins. They're not really, you know, but they're part of the push on.
But Patrick, what we're talking about here, really, if you want to really cut to the chase,
yeah, let's do.
We're talking about America is a captured, as in coup. America is a captured entity.
Coup. We've been coup.
America has been captured in a stealth coup. Mm-hmm. Globalists are in control of the choke points, the critical choke points of the American way of life. And this has occurred over a long period of time.
Which would be Dollar Inc., I guess, price of gold and silver, monetary policy through the Fed, the choke points, those kind of, what are other choke points?
I don't believe it's really through the Fed. I believe that globalists to me, the real prize in America, Patrick, is not even so much the Fed. I believe that the real prize in America is the Treasury. It is the Treasury that issues the dollars, not the Fed.
Well, no. Fed issues the dollars, so they monetize debt through the New York Federal Reserve, so the Treasury doesn't print their own dollars.
No, but they control, in, at least in my view, the Treasury does control monetary policy.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And if you control, monetary policy, you effectively can control how much debt you are allowed to have.
Sure.
So because you can finance, Patrick, you can finance infinite amounts of debt at zero interest.
Infinite. And we do it. Yeah, so you're saying it matters not. Of course, it'd be a better deal if we actually printed the dollars ourselves, then we wouldn't have as much debt, but that's another story. But so you're saying that the Mnuchin and the boys that control him, they're really running the show because they determine how much debt, and that's for everything, right? How many dollars will be out there?
Yeah, I will take it even further. I don't really believe that the president of the United States of America has the true power to name his own Treasury Secretary. I believe that the President of the United States is given a list of acceptable names, and he must pick from that list.
I wouldn't be surprised there, boy.
And I believe that this plays back into what we witnessed when candidate Trump became President-elect Trump. And because there was a meeting that occurred in the White House when candidate Trump had become President-elect Trump. And this was before he was sworn in. And he had a meeting with Obama in the White House where they had a meeting that was scheduled to be 15 minutes and ended up being more like 45 minutes. And when Trump and Obama held a impromptu press conference 15 minutes after the meeting, Trump appeared, at least to me, and it's all recorded on YouTube for posterity's sake. Trump looked like he had seen a ghost. He was visibly scared. He was visibly rankled. And I think he was basically read the real playbook of how things work in America. And he basically referenced it, and he had to be careful, I think, with his words, and his words were chosen carefully. But he said he learned some things that scared him and bothered him, and he didn't go on to elaborate. But I think he was read the playbook. And I think the playbook basically tells anybody who assumes the mantle of president in your country, I think the playbook is read to them, and I think this also explains why the establishment was so upset that he had actually become the president of your country, because this is a man that is known to be an independent thinker. This is a man that doesn't bow or kowtow to the establishment, and this is a man who I think was literally scared out of his jockey shorts when he was told the way things really operate in your country. So that's my view of it.
Yeah, well,
and maybe I'm right, and maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, Rob Kirby is with us 21 minutes after the hour. This gold, which you're really interested in, and dollar, and keeping an eye on all of that. The mechanism that they use to suppress it, I guess, is just kind of geeky stuff that it really doesn't matter. Is there going to be a breakout someday, in your opinion, Rob Kirby, where the boys, we call them the boys, we're not going to be able to control the price of gold or silver, and we're going to see some real moves? Is that all tied into how much physical metal is out there?
In my view, Patrick, absolutely, it's tied to the demand for physical precious metal at some point will overwhelm the availability of physical precious metal. And the suppressive nature of selling promises of precious metal versus real hoards or stores of precious metal, at some point, people, entities, and very, very likely it's dependent on the demand that emanates from sovereign entities, whether it's China, Russia, India, or other Asian countries, or non-aligned with the Western world countries. At some point, there will be promises made of physical metal that will not be met, and at such a time, the price of metal, and at such a time when somebody is not willing to be bought off with fiat settlements or inducements to take fiat money in lieu of physical precious metal that's been promised, and at that time, not only will the precious metals edifice be completely discredited, as in the paper markets, the COMEX, the LBMA, London Bullion Market Association, which sell infinite amounts of paper and paper promises of metal, metal that does not exist, has never been mined, and never will exist. And not only will the paper charade and precious metals be undermined and destroyed, but by association, the paper markets in other strategic commodities will simultaneously be destroyed, as in the paper markets, largely paper markets for energy, crude oil, and for interest rate products like U.S. government debt, they will simultaneously be destroyed. And we will have a good old-fashioned calamity on our hands where there will be a rush for, and precious metals will become cash and carry markets.
But as you know, Rob, let me interrupt a second. I know that you gold bugs and silver bugs and, you know, people that really study this stuff, you've been saying this for a long time, haven't you? A lot of people for years. Are you surprised of how long they've been able to keep it going?
Yeah, I am surprised that they've been able to keep it going this long.
Oh, yeah.
But let's do remember, Patrick. I started talking about this when gold was $300 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
And gold today is
what, $1,250
something? Like let's put it this way, Patrick. When I started talking about this, gold was actually sub 300. And the Dow was 10,000. And today, gold is 1,200. And the Dow is what?
21 and a half.
Okay. Like, let's put it this way. Well, maybe you can say I've been wrong. I've been more correct than people who love stocks.
As in double.
And that's not even counting the fact that gold's been up to 1900 and then hammered back into order.
Hammered.
And that's not to mention that silver has gone from, I don't know, when I started talking about silver, it was 5. You know, and today it's 16, and it's the most suppressed thing on the planet and the most undervalued asset on the planet. And it's been to 50, and today it's 16.
But the...
So I haven't exactly been punished for being wrong.
No, I understand. Yeah. So, Rob, though, so if the people that own and control Dow Inc. and have the ability to print as many as they want, euros or whatever, so you're saying that the only thing that is going to really stop them, it would be the demand for physical, because they can just create...
Let's put it a different way, if I may. Let's take a cryptocurrency, and it's one of the top 4 or 5 market cap cryptocurrencies, which in the last 3 months has gone from a market cap of 200 million to, it's been as high as 12 billion. I think it's currently around 11, and its name is Ripple. So Ripple is a cryptocurrency. It's one of the smaller, well, I don't want to say it's one of the smaller ones because it's actually in the top four. But, I mean, the value of Ripple by market cap has gone up by a factor of 60 in 3 months. And I would contend if silver was not strapped to a gurney in an outpatient room waiting for its lethal injection by the powers that be, silver might very well have gone up by a factor of 60. And silver might today be at $1,200. And at some point, my view is that silver will be removed from the gurney, which it is currently strapped to, because silver will never die. Silver has never died. Gold has never died. These things are money. And people around the world recognize them as such. And when they are unstrapped from the gurneys that American financial interests have strapped them to, precious metals will rise like Ripple. And they will. We will see them go up by a factor of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times in a very short period of time, like the cryptocurrencies are doing right now. And the reason that cryptocurrencies are doing this right now, Patrick, is they are anti-dollar trades, and there is no derivatives edifice that surrounds the cryptocurrencies to allow the powers that be to suppress them.
Oh, they can't sell them short and all that like they're doing with gold and silver.
Sell yeah. cryptocurrencies short. You can only sell a cryptocurrency that you own. This is not true today, right now, in the precious metals arena. In the precious metals arena, excuse me, but in the precious metals arena, as we saw on the night of U.S. presidential elections, when Trump was declared by the mainstream media as the unsuspected winner of the presidential election, the first reaction in the precious metals arena was that gold was up $100 within about 10 minutes of Trump being announced as the winner. And that's when the powers that be swung into action in the derivatives markets. And then in the ensuing 3 days, they sold 3 times annual global mine production in the gold market that was sold in paper form in 72 hours. And this blatant hammering of the gold price in the paper markets turned a $100 up, and it would have gone much higher had the intervention not been undertaken. A $100 up was turned into a $100 down with this overwhelming suppressive supply of promises of gold, gold which has not yet been mined and probably never will be mined and does not exist. So this is the world we live in.
Pretty wild. Rob Kirby is with us, Kirby Analytics. If you'd like to join the show, 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. If you've not tried our sulfur, it's pretty cool. It's very cool. It's like the bee's knees. It's like the bomb. It's like the bomb. It's really fun. It's pure sulfur. There's no silicon dioxide. And most of them out there have silicon dioxide, which makes them like not very good. So if you'd like to try some, it has a love affair with heavy metals. I mean, really, really does. So this can help clean out some of the heavy metals that you might get from airplanes flying above and, you know, stuff like that. Coal fire plants. There's just a lot around aluminum. We don't like that. You know, we don't want that in our brain, you know. So this is a pretty cool product to take. People feel better. They have more circulation around their joints, and they remember more of their dreams, and they just have more energy. And I don't know the whole mechanism of why it works like that, but it does. And you can go on One Radio Network and look at all of the testimonials by clicking on the sulfur page, and just just hundreds and hundreds of them. People have a really good time with it. So you might want to try that. Also, if you've never tried the colostrum, it's a great product, 6-hour colostrum, which is from little moo cows, and 6-hour, and it's loaded with immune factors, and it really helps to seal the gut and heal the gut. Andrew says his stomach has never felt better in his whole life. He's always had kind of a stomach issue going on, and he heard me talk about colostrum so much. He said, well, I'll try that. And he is, and he really loves it. He's taking it every morning. A lot of folks take it in just some warm, filtered water first thing in the morning to kind of soothe everything out. So if your tummy acting up, acid reflux and stuff like that, it can help heal and seal things up. It's a wonderful product. And that's their Thrival and the elk, the colostrum. They also have the elk velvet antler and the pine pollen. And then, of course, One World Way, one of our faves. Very cool product. Grass-fed cows, very low temperature, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, 20 grams of protein with every scoop. And this is a nice way to get a whole bunch of good things. A lot of amino acids in there, including lots of cysteine, will help your body create more glutathione. And we know that that's really a cool thing. What else can I tell you about on this break? Oh, how about colloidal silver? Well, you've heard of colloidal silver, where this is like the top of the line. The no kidding, no fooling around. The Dalai Lama of colloidal silver is in gold. He has silver, gold, copper, magnesium, and selenium. It is not a nano form, as most of them are. It is a monoatomic form, which is many, many, many million times smaller. Than nano. And we know the nanotechnology is not good. So this is a really nice way to get these metals into your body. In Ayurvedic medicine, I'm taking an herb right now that is for strength and longevity, which is in Ayurveda called Kaya Kalpa. And it has gold right in there. Ayurveda medicine has been using gold and silver in their herbs for thousands of years because they know. And so this is another way to get gold and silver. We're getting some pretty interesting reports from little kids with autistic symptoms, autistic behavior, using the gold and the silver and the copper, nebulizing it. So it's something to think about if you know somebody with that challenge going on. And if you want to get some magnesium in, you could get some of this magnesium and then nebulize that, and boy, that's pretty fun. So it's a great product. This is a real deal. You can get colloidal silver in monoatomic form at 750 parts per million, or I know a friend of mine bought some at 10,000 parts per million, which is crazy. I mean, it's like 10 times, 20 times more than you can get on the interweb that Al Gore invented. So this is top-of-the-line products, monoatomic, gold, silver, copper, magnesium, and selenium, and more coming from Nature's Pure Organics right on the front page of One Radio Network. Just click on there and then give them a call.
Know the source. One Radio Network.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, well, we have a solution, though. We have.
If you knew that you would die today, you saw the face of God and love, would you change? Would you change? If you knew that love can't break your heart, when you're down so low you cannot fall, would you change? Would you change? How bad, how good does it need to get? How many losses, how much regret? What chain reaction, what cause and effect makes you turn around, makes you try to explain?
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
I changed my sheets yesterday. Does that count? I think it counts. It's Rob Kirby's with us, Kirby Analytics. Rob, when you look at Bitcoin, I got my little list here. The market cap, is that a billion? Yeah. Is that billion? 43 billion or million? 40.
Yeah.
Is it billion? Hold on a second. Is it billion?
Yeah, it is billion, Patrick.
Yeah, 43 billion in Ethereum. How do you say it? Ethereum, 34 billion, and now Ripple, 12 billion. Ripple's coming up fast along the side, and it's only 33 cents compared to $2,600. So my question to you, as you study this stuff, why would the boys, Dollar Inc., the boys, the cabal, whatever you want to call them, who control Dollar Inc. and gold and everything, long-term allow these things to exist? I mean, at 33, they outlawed the ownership of gold. If they could do that, they could probably kibosh these if they want it someday?
I would imagine they probably have that ability.
Oh.
You see, Patrick, I believe that there is such a thing, if people have ever heard of the term, internet kill switch. And, you know, cryptocurrencies to me are a double-edged sword as such. And when I say that they're a double-edged sword, I believe that the technology behind cryptocurrencies, which is blockchain technology, mm-hmm. which allows for secure transmission of ownership rights or the conveyance of ownership of virtually anything uh-huh. in a transparent, secure environment, it basically at its fundamental root, it makes the traditional or historic banking function of banks being the money changers and banks being the purveyors or conveyors of wealth, it makes their whole business model redundant.
Yeah.
Instead of a transfer of wealth or money taking 3 business days and 38 signatures and banks sniffing your behind, it can be done literally for pennies and instantaneously.
Oof.
which makes banking something like the dinosaurs, redundant and not necessary. Hmm. And outmoded. And this is why banks and the powers that be have funneled and put so much money into trying to control and have people develop a crypto product that they can harness or control themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the power and the utility that's gained from cryptocurrencies emanates from the very notion that it is decentralized and not controlled by one entity. And this is why banks will fail and the powers that be will fail in their attempts to control or develop a cryptocurrency that they can completely control, because it's sort of like trying to control a cryptocurrency or develop a cryptocurrency that you can control is sort of like saying, I am going to redesign the wheel and make it square. And square wheels don't roll very well, Patrick. And a centrally controlled cryptocurrency will not roll well either. And this is why the cryptocurrencies have developed the way they have and why they have become so quickly. I mean, Patrick, you know, you spoke of the market capitalization of Bitcoin and Ripple briefly. The entire crypto space which includes literally hundreds of cryptocurrencies. But the entire crypto space 3 months ago, at the turn of the year, had a market capitalization of no more than $30
billion. What?
And in 3 months...
What? Well, Bitcoin is almost double that now.
Yeah, but wow. I mean, understand that the crypto space has gone from a market cap of under $30
billion
to today, it's $116 billion. I just checked like 3 minutes ago.
Wow, that's tripled since six months.
Sure, but the crazy thing about it, Patrick, the crypto space on Friday was $90
billion. Wow.
And it had gone from a collective market cap of 110 down to 90. And now it's 116. And I think if we reconvened in another 3 or 4 months, the crypto space might have a market capitalization of over $200 billion.
Yeah.
Because the cryptocurrencies and the rise of the cryptocurrencies, I don't believe it's going away unless the internet is shut off.
So that's the only way, in your opinion, Rob Kirby, that the boys could ever hammer these things is shut down the internet, because they're pretty locked in tight, aren't they? I don't think they could. Well, couldn't they just make them illegal? And they could make anything illegal. They make marijuana illegal. They made, as I mentioned, they made gold, only gold illegal. They could just pass some law. It's illegal.
Sure.
Of course, that's not going to stop them. You know, that wouldn't stop it, but it would certainly put a damper on them.
Well, sure, they could put a damper on them, and at some point, I completely expect them to do so.
Do you really? You think they would?
But I mean, sure, I
why wouldn't they? Exactly. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Anything that Al Gore created, Al Gore can shut down.
That's right. Oh my God. So what is the crypto world, Rob Kirby, in your opinion? Has it any relationship to gold at all?
Actually, I believe, Patrick, I do believe that in the future, there's going to be a marriage between crypto and gold.
Really?
And I do believe that ultimately, there will be a gold-backed cryptocurrency that will, I believe there will be a cryptocurrency that will be absolutely redeemable in gold.
Now that'd be cool.
And this will be a return, even if it's in a bastardized form. This will be a return to some sort of a quasi gold standard or bimetal standard.
Yeah.
Because I believe that there may be a gold and a silver cryptocurrencies that operate side by side.
Do you think, Rob Kirby, knowing what you know about gold and silver, that even if you had a Bitcoin or something worth 0.00001 ounce of gold or something weird like that, you know, which would be a super fraction, that would give it a lot more juice than it has today, just because you can say it's partially gold-backed?
Well, the interesting thing, when you talk about fractional Bitcoin or fractional cryptocurrency, there's already a name for 1/1,000,000th of a Bitcoin.
No kidding.
And it's called a Satoshi.
A Satoshi.
And it's named after the founder, or the alleged founder, of Bitcoin.
So you can buy a 1/1,000,000th of a Bitcoin?
Well, all you have to do to have 1/1,000,000th of a Bitcoin, Patrick, is move the decimal place to the right.
Oh, okay.
Or to the left, I guess, actually.
So it'd be 0.226 cents is 1,000,000? No, that's not right.
Well, just like you know, something that I've always found amazing.
Funny.
Is how people through the years have claimed, errantly, falsely claimed, that the reason a gold standard doesn't work is there's not enough gold. And that's a common argument that you hear to discredit or to say that a gold standard is not a working thing.
Right.
Well, the amazing thing about gold is that it's infinitely divisible.
Yeah, Yeah, so I you could do 0.00001% gold, right?
Instead of pricing gold in ounces, you can price it in grams. Mm-hmm. You can price gold in, for that matter, you could price it in tenths of grams.
Yeah, you could do it in mega. What do we do, the vitamins, like in grams or milligrams? You could do milligrams, thousandths of a gram.
So, but I mean, gold is infinitely divisible, as is silver. And these things can be divided. And so effectively, the supply of gold, the argument that there isn't enough gold for there to be a gold standard, is a dog that doesn't hunt. And it's a proposition put forward by Keynesian fools who believe in the power of government and the power of government to create endless amounts of fiat money, which in itself is a ridiculous notion, because we live on a very finite planet with finite resources, and yet we are ruled by people who believe that in the finite confines of our planet, they can create infinite amounts of, I mean, dollars are, even though they're debt-based, they represent demand.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And infinite demand does not rest well in a environment where you have finite resources.
I read an article where Mr. Putin, he met with the Ethereum guy the other day, and because he wants to do a blockchain ruble thing, something.
Yeah. Interestingly, that it's a Russian fellow who was behind the creation of Ethereum.
Huh.
But a Russian chap who actually lives in the fair city of Toronto.
Really?
And Ethereum was actually created here in Toronto, which doesn't surprise me at all, because interest rate derivatives, for the most part, were created also here in Toronto.
Rob, do you think that the Bitcoins now, let's just take Bitcoin, do you think, in your opinion, are they going to stick to that there's only going to be so much and there'll never be, and that's it, you know, someday? And
you know, Patrick, I think that cryptocurrencies, to be honest with you, cryptocurrencies, even though they've had a run-up in market cap as a space from 30 or under billion to 116 billion in 3 or 4 months,
uh-huh,
since January, or actually it was actually February, I believe, late February, that this run-up, it's a very short period of time that this run-up has occurred. But the funny thing is, you know, Patrick, I was out in a boat this past weekend, and I must have asked 5 or 6 people, 3 or 4 of which work in the financial services industry.
Yeah.
And I asked them what their opinions were on cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
And there wasn't one of them that knew what I was talking about.
Really?
So.
That'll tell you something, right, of where it could go from here.
So, and I literally said, I said to these people, you mean you haven't heard of Bitcoin?
Mm-hmm.
And they and a couple of them did say, yes, I've heard of Bitcoin, but I didn't realize it was a cryptocurrency. So yeah. All I'm saying is the run in cryptocurrencies, in my view, could be a lot bigger than what we've seen so far.
Right, right.
Before the powers that be find it necessary to intervene and put the kibosh on things.
Kibosh. Rob Kirby, do you see anything in your gold crystal ball, because that's really your big guy, where gold could maybe go for, what is it, what are we today, 20, what are we, 2,400 something? I don't know. I don't even have my chart up. Could lose a massive amount even for a short time. I'm sorry, we're 1,250. Could you ever see anything in your gold crystal ball where there could be a knockdown in the 1,000 range or 900 or something like that?
I don't believe so, Patrick.
Don't you?
I believe what is more likely, I do believe that I will live to see a day when you cannot buy an ounce of gold for US dollars at any price.
Really?
Yes. So you can, you know, I love it when people say to me, how high do you think gold could go? Mm. Well, ultimately, I do believe we will live to see a day. I think you'll live to see the day too. I don't think we're that different in age. But I do believe I will live to see a day when you cannot buy an ounce of gold for U.S. dollars at any price.
Nobody's selling, or you just can't afford it?
The dollar, in my view, will ultimately meet its day of reckoning, and it will revert to its intrinsic value, which is zero.
It's a cryptocurrency. Well, man, oh man, it's pretty curious. Do you think that the powers that be, let's go back and do a little bit of geopolitics before we go. Let me ask this. What do you think Mr. Mnuchin has in store as far as monetary policy moving forward? And a lot of people predicting that we could have a very rough fall in early next year as far as a lot of things. Jim Rogers, even Andrew and other people. What do you think Mr. Mnuchin has in mind that he wants to do to keep things from falling apart?
Well, my view of the world and my view of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency, I would actually suggest to you that Mr. Mnuchin or his predecessor, should he be deemed unfit to fulfill the job at some point in time, but whoever occupies the seat of U.S. Treasury Secretary is akin to the captain on the Titanic. And we all know that the captain of the Titanic went down with the ship. And at some point, the U.S. Treasury Secretary will go down with the ship or will be vaporized in a nuclear war. And you can assign any metaphorical proposition you want, but the outcome is that of the ship is going down. Fiat currencies throughout the history of humanity have come and gone, and the dollar, as a fiat currency, is here today. And there will come a day when it is no longer. And that's reality. And people who aren't jiggy with that better start reading some history.
Jiggy?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, is that a Canadian thing, jiggy?
No, it's a, you know, it's a...
it's a thing.
It's, you know, it's a thing. You know, yeah. It's, I shouldn't say quack kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. So to our listeners, you know, it's pretty tough to buy a big chunk of gold and, you know, carry it around like in Goldfinger and James Bond stuff. So,
Come on, Patrick. Now listen.
What?
You could put $1 million worth of gold in the glove box of a small car.
Well,
I would suggest to you.
Oh, no, if you did, yeah, numismatic coins.
Depending on the size of bill.
Yeah,
but I mean, I would actually suggest to you that $1 million worth of gold probably takes up less room than $1 million worth of 50s.
Really? No.
Sure.
No. Come on. Really?
Come on.
Okay. What's one of those big bars that you see in the?
Well, if you have a 400 ounce bar of gold,
yeah,
is no bigger than a brick.
Yeah.
That goes in a house.
And how much? What's 400 times 1244?
Well, it's $500,000.
Nah.
Most cars, you can put two bricks in the glove box.
I'll be darned. I never even thought about it on those terms. 1244 times 400. I got my calculator here. Yeah, well, that's $500,000.
Yeah. But, I mean, silver, on the other hand,
yeah,
because silver is so obscenely underpriced and undervalued, no, silver becomes a little bit of a different trick because...
Yeah. $16, yeah, an ounce.
Because it's $16 an ounce. History or nature, I would contend that nature would tell us that silver, which is a monetary metal also, silver should should likely be priced at about one-tenth of the price of gold.
Yeah.
And it's currently 1/70th or 1/75th of the price of gold. But, I mean, for every, let's just say this, Patrick, for every ounce of gold that gets mined out of the Earth's crust, which is where all gold comes from,
yeah,
which is a beautiful thing because it actually, when gold is accepted and viewed officially as money, gold inflicts discipline on the people who create money. Because if money is gold-backed, people are forced, or governments are forced, to live within their means. And governments are forced to not run reckless deficits, which only in the end accrue benefit to the banking establishment, yeah, not to humanity.
Yeah.
Silver. And for every ounce of gold that comes out of the Earth's crust, roughly 8 ounces of silver are mined out of the Earth's crust. And that's nature's reminder to us that the price of silver should be roughly 1/8, or let's just round it off. Silver should be 1/10 of the price of gold.
And as you heard on the commercial, the uses for silver in just in health is massive now with... Well, we know the healing properties of killing bacteria and viruses, silver, and all the stuff. Finally, so if one of my listeners has $500,000, like in their underwear drawer, is it pretty easy? They could call a guy like you, and you could hook him up with one bar. I mean, is it available? I mean, tell us quickly how that works.
Well, I mean, today, Patrick, you can still freely buy precious metal, at least in the Western world. And the reason you can still buy at retail precious metal in the Western world is because there has been such a concerted effort to discredit precious metal by the powers that be. And you know, it's a very interesting story, which I can really abbreviate for you. Going back 12 years ago, I was playing golf with my brother at a suburban Toronto golf course. And we ended up being hooked up with a Swiss gentleman who joined us, I think, on the second hole. He was playing alone behind us. And anyway, we introduced ourselves and we played a few holes and we ended up talking about the markets, financial markets. We were standing on the tee, I think it was the sixth hole, and this Swiss gentleman asked us, well, what do you guys like in the market? And my brother went on about, my brother's a gold bug like me. And he explained to the Swiss gentleman, I really, really like gold. I like the precious metals very much. And understand, at this point in time, the price of gold was probably $375 12 years ago. I think that's about right.
Yeah.
And the Swiss gentleman, who we learned like after this discussion, we learned he was the retired chairman of a Swiss bank. And this Swiss gentleman said to us, he didn't know who the heck we were. He didn't know us from Johnny Appleseed. And he said, if you knew the extent to which officialdom has put resources into discrediting gold and precious metal, I don't think you would be anywhere near as bullish as you are on precious metal.
Oh, wow.
And that was from the chairman of a Swiss bank. Former chairman of a Swiss bank. That was his admission, unsolicited admission to us, standing on the sixth tee. And I mean, I could name him if I chose to, but I won't, because I don't need to. I don't even know if he's still alive.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that in itself, for me, is absolute confirmation of everything that my research has told me and everything I believe to be true. because he is on the front line of it all. And he told us point blank that this is a program. And you see, and I take solace in that because I know that such a program is unsustainable long term. Okay. And I'm willing to wait the buggers out.
You're going
to
wait the buggers out. Well, yeah. you have a lot of patience. Appreciate your work. It's always fun talking to you, Rob. Thanks. We're going to move on. It's a little after 10. Your website, Kirby Analytics. Are you going to get that book published someday?
You know what, Patrick? The funny thing about the book, I should probably update it because, or I should probably write another three books because the material that I've accumulated since I produced the original three manuscripts, the material, and I must say, the book was actually written in 2004, and the material in it is very, very prescient even today. And I mean, this was all written pre-financial crisis, but it foreshadowed and predicted the financial crisis that came and went. And it foreshadowed and predicted very much the where we are today. And it was written 13 years ago.
Uh-huh. So you think...
But anyway, like I say, I'm patient and I'm willing to wait the buggers out.
Wait them out. All right, Rob. Yep. Thanks a lot, brother. Take care of yourself, okay? Have a good day up there in Canada.
You too.
Bye-bye. Rob Kirby, Kirby Analytics.